This is the Geek Dads, the podcast of GeekDad.com on the Wired Blog Network. This is episode 95. Yes, we are lazy, but in a good way. Hello again, everyone. You found it. We are back. This is The Geek Dads, episode number 95. I am Ken Denmead, editor of GeekDad.com, and happy one day after the 4th of July, Independence Day for everyone. It's been a really good long weekend, and joining us to talk about that and many other things in the Geek Dad universe is a good old Mr. Matt Blum. How you doing, Matt? Was it a good 4th of July?
It was. It's always hard to get back to work after it, but it was good.
Yeah, I actually took today off, so it's going to be even harder tomorrow for me.
I imagine so.
But any highlights, special, firework displays you went to or other events?
We went to there's a park called Lake Fairfax Park, not far from our house, where they shoot off the fireworks over the lake, which is really cool because they get really cool reflections in the water. And so we walked over there through the various paths through the woods, so we didn't have to deal with parking. And we didn't get quite as close as we would have liked to because my parents joined us, and they're not quite as spry as they used to be. So, but we got a pretty good vantage point. But what was really funny, though, is that where we were right near a whole group of ducks that were, just swimming on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And when the fireworks started going off, they freaked out. I mean, they just started quacking repeatedly, flying all over the place, running up on the banks, and just totally freaking out.
Scaring the local wildlife for holiday fun. I like it.
It was pretty amusing, actually.
Church in the chat room just reminds us that it was also Canada Day this weekend, or towards the end of last week. So everybody has their own happy time. So it was a good weekend for all of the Northern Hemisphere, North America.
Right,
that
was Friday, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Brad did a post for
him. Right, awesome. Well, let's also welcome Jonathan Liu. Hello, Jonathan.
How are you?
How's things? It's good. We had a good Independence Day. We went down to the in-laws near Fresno, and we got to go see the Fresno Grizzlies play. They're the AAA farm team for the San Francisco Giants, and it was a rip-roaring game. It was, started out early with their arch enemies, the Sacramento River Cats, who are the AAA farm team for the Oakland A's. So not only are they two ends of, of one of the big rivers in the Central Valley, they're also, and two ends of the freeway down the Central Valley, but also, AL and NL farm team rivals. But they went down 5-0 in early innings and clawed their way back to tie it up, take it to the 10th inning, and in the bottom of the 10th inning loaded the bases, and the guy, technically he hit a grand slam, but only one run counted to win the game. So great way to set up, and then there were fireworks afterwards. So
only one run counted.
They only needed one to win. One run scores and it ends the game.
But
If
it's a home run, all the runs are supposed to count.
No, they counted it 6-5.
Okay, well, that's not the way it's supposed to work. Just tell me. If it's a home run, all the runs, unless they screwed up on the bases, which is possible, which has happened before, where like they don't actually keep running. The first run scores, in which case they don't count. But in theory, according to the rules, if a game ends on a home run, all the runs count.
Well, it would have been nice. It's not the way it ended up happening. So, it's AAA ball, though, so who knows? There was a lot of celebration on the field, though, so that may have ended the game.
Yeah, if they didn't actually, if the other runners didn't actually cross the plate, then the runs don't count.
Yeah, too bad. How about you, Jonathan? Anything good out? Now, let's see. Wait, you're still packing to move, or you have
packed? I am still packing, yes. I actually started early this year, so I won't end up trying to pack in 10 days, pack and move and finish renovating the house in 10 days,
oh,
as I did last year.
So there's concern. Yeah. There's so you're actually, you know, able to be methodical and organized, yeah. And every, you know, box has a special code on it to tell you where it's supposed to go.
Yep, absolutely. And then of course the movers will show up and throw everything in the truck and hopefully
and miss it all.
Will arrive. Yeah. So try not to stress out too much about that. But no, we had a good fourth. We did actually have fireworks, which was nice. There was a couple weeks ago, there was actually a burn ban in our county because it had been so dry. So I think since last August, we had gotten maybe 3 inches of rain. And so they said, well, it's too dry, no fireworks. And then about 2 weeks ago, we got something like over 3 inches of rain in one afternoon. And they said, hey, let's have fireworks.
How nice of them. That's excellent.
So that was fun. So we got to, you know, they basically just have a fireworks show. You just go up to the football field and they give you free ice cream and then you watch fireworks. So
free ice cream and fireworks. I don't think you can beat that.
No, yeah, pretty hard.
Although I do have to say it was pretty cool at the Grizzlies game. They had for however they were planning it and doing it, in theory, everyone who was at that game could bring their ticket back and get into the tomorrow's game for free, or tonight, yeah, you know, the next day's game. But so that would have been kind of cool. But what can you do? What can you do?
Yeah.
Well, awesome, guys. I guess we have a few interesting geeky things to talk about this week. Let's do this. Let's do our promo for our sponsor first. So let's give a big shout out to our good friends at mapbook.com, who have been very graciously sponsoring all of our Geek Dad podcasts. If you haven't heard it already, Mapbook is a location-based social network that lets you take photos and write down notes and geolocate and create what they call hooks to given places that you go for things that you do, events, experiences, anything that you can think of. And you can tag them with some very interesting geeky tags. In fact, they do a lot to sort of keep up on the geek culture and cultivate the geek culture, which is why, you know, they're connected with us and a lot of other really great geeky activities. In fact, I think just recently they were involved in a certain Marion Call concert at the Think Geek headquarters.
They were indeed.
So, and I'm not sure. I think whether they actually created a hook tag for that, or at least were definitely sort of live tweeting and creating hooks from the concert. And in theory, go ahead, Matt.
I think David did. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was there. I think he was the only Mapbook person there. He was there handing out free beverages, which was kind of cool.
Can't beat that. And then it sounds very much like they are going to be involved in our participation at Nerdapalooza coming up in just a week and a half or so. So we need to give that a plug too, because our own Geek Dads Z and Curtis Silver are going to be at Nerdapalooza doing some live reporting, live casting, and obviously some blogging, and we will have a Geek Dad table there. They will be selling some t-shirts and giving away a few pieces of swag and sort of trying to connect with our own sort of hip tracks Geek Dad nerdy music community down there. So we are very excited, and we get to sponsor. We will be presenting the band I Fight Dragons, one of the headliners. So we are very proud to be a participant in Nerdapalooza this year. And so all that bringing us back around to Mapbook. Hopefully we'll be doing a lot of Mapbook stuff from Nerdapalooza, hopefully creating a story from there, because what you can do with a collection of hooks that may represent a trip or a journey or a season of sports or anything you can think of is you can collect them into a story and then share that story with your friends, your family, your social contacts, whomever, so that they can sort of follow right along with whatever this experience was that you had. So it is pretty nifty, and we encourage you to go check out mapbook.com and download their iPhone app from the App Store. And otherwise, we thank them so much for their support of the Geek Dad podcasts. And so, great. I just killed two birds with one stone, got our Nerdapalooza plug out of the way, which is of vital importance. What else we got coming up?
Well, I'm going to this thing in San Diego.
This little thing, I hear.
Little thing.
Yeah. Is that next weekend or weekend after? When is it?
It's the 21st to 24th.
Okay, so the weekend after Nerdapalooza. Excellent. And what is it you're doing at this? First of all, the thing is?
Comic-Con.
Oh, that.
Yeah, minor little gathering.
Little gathering of the nerds. Yeah. Awesome. And what is your primary role at Comic-Con?
Well, the big thing I'm doing is I'm going to be moderating the Phineas and Ferb panel for Disney.
And how many kinds of awesome is that?
It is many kinds of awesome. I'm very much
So tell me what you can about what you know is going into the panel and who's going to be on the panel.
Okay, well, the people who are going to be on the panel are Dan Povenmire and Swampy Marsh, the creators of Phineas and Ferb and the voices of, respectively, Dr. Doofenshmirtz and Major Monogram. And Ashley Tisdale, who does Candace's voice, is probably best known, though, for High School Musical.
1 through 8, yeah.
Yeah. It only seems that way. And Vincent Martella, who does the voice of Phineas. D. Bradley Baker, who does among many other things for in many other shows, the voice of voice, I suppose, is the wrong word, but the sound of Perry the Platypus. I really want to know how he makes that noise.
We have to see him do it. Whether it, you know, it's something with the lips, or yeah, I have no idea.
Well, you know, I can actually ask him questions. So you know,
that's very good.
And I'm not 100% sure about Olivia Olson, who does the voice of Vanessa Doofenshmirtz, may also be there.
Okay, excellent, excellent.
So we're gonna be showing some like behind the scenes stuff, clips from upcoming episodes from the third season. And you know, talk about stuff. Gonna be showing stuff from the movie that's coming out in early August. In fact, exactly a month from today. And basically, answering a lot of audience questions, and you know, see where it goes from there. But I got a lot of cool stuff, and they're doing all kinds of stuff. They have a table at the con. And they're going to do signings, and they the Perry the Platypus, enunciate that.
Keep talking for a second. I got to go check something. So keep. Sure.
It is a large Airstream bus that is going to be touring the country, starting, I believe, early next week. Which is an Airstream bus that looks like a giant Perry the Platypus. It will be making its way across the country, doing stops and inviting kids to come on and try out the upcoming games that they're going to put out and do all kinds of other cool activities. And it will be making its way to Comic-Con, where it will be, they have a fairly central location for it, I believe, like right in front of one of the main entrances. So they're really pushing it, which is very cool. So they expect to have, to fill and then some the room that we're in for the panel, which is actually supposed to seat I believe supposed to seat 1,000 people.
That's scary. You know, you realize that you guys may actually you may outdo me for hosting a large room between the because PAX probably won't be quite that big this year. Although close, they say supposedly it's the room we're getting at PAX Prime is the largest? How did Khalil say it? It's like one of their largest rooms.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. I mean, after what happened at the vast number of people we had to turn away at PAX East, I'm not surprised they could use a larger room. They were trying for a larger room for the Phineas and Ferb people at for the Phineas and Ferb panel at Comic Con, but I don't think there was one available. But I do know that they're saying that because there's also going to be after the panel a the next day, there's going to be a screening of, I'm not sure if it's all of, but at least a good portion of the movie. And they're going to be giving a lot of tickets to that away to the people who can't get in the room.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a pretty swell thing to do. Okay. Awesome.
So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. There's a Wootstock going to be there. And I'm going to go to that. I can't wait. Since I haven't been able to see a Wootstock yet.
They are awesome.
Yeah. And there's Mythbusters panel that I'm going to, which I can't wait to see. All five Mythbusters. There's a panel for the new Penn & Teller show on Discovery. That's with, of course, Penn & Teller. So
both of them. How great. I'd like
that. Yeah. I don't know if Teller's going to talk or not. But, you know.
He probably will. On a panel, yeah, he'll probably talk.
Yeah, he probably will. I mean, I've actually seen him talk before.
I've talked to him before. It's really cool. Because they will, you know, after when they do shows, they, you know, sort of like Paul and Storm do, they come out after the show and talk to everybody that wants it, do photographs, they do autographs, and will basically just socialize until everybody leaves. Cool. So
the way that Comic-Con works, I don't know that they'll be able to do that.
That might not be possible. You're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
The wisest choice. Yeah. Get swarmed with fans.
Yeah. Comic-Con is pretty, there's just lots of people. And, you know, they're always running behind on everything. You know, or just, you know, if you can't get all the people out of the room, you know, you can't start your next event. So.
Yeah. Probably nature of the beast. Can't get past that.
So yeah, I'm sure somebody. I'm sure that probably several different people will video record the panel, which, you know, is either, you know, a good thing or a frightening thing, depending on your point of view.
How quickly can we get it up on YouTube?
Oh, I'm sure it'll be up on YouTube by a couple hours after it's over. I wouldn't be surprised, just because, you know, Phineas and Ferber, the popularity has just skyrocketed, and. There's been a huge response in some of the publicity they've been having for the upcoming movie. So
there's your first question to Dan and Swampy. So what does it feel like to be sellouts? I mean, you know, back, you know, first couple of seasons, you were indie, you were hip, and, you know, all just the cool kids got you. But now, man, widespread public acclaim, we can, you know, buy the cheap toys at you know, the knockoff toys and stuff. You know what? You know, how does it feel to take a, you know, wheelbarrow full of money to sell your soul?
I'm guessing it probably feels like that.
Oh yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. Good. Just had to know. And then you look down at the podium. You check. Make a big motion of checking one off, and then move on.
And then they'll invite you back.
Right.
Never.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I want, you know.
Actually, it'd probably be a good laugh line, but yeah,
it might be. I'll see. You know, I'm writing down all. I'm taking all sorts of notes, and, you know, trying to get a lot of stuff written down so that in the inevitable moments when my mind completely blanks on what I should say next, because I am standing in front of 1,000 people, I will have something to turn to that will give me a hint about what to say next.
Right. You should just, what you need to make is like 10 different cards that just in very large print have one comment or question to ask on them. And you lay them out, just spread right at the top of the podium. And then if you like go into crash and burn mode, you just look down, see one, say it, and then cross it out.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And that's your whole backup plan. And then, like any, you know, comedy movie, as you start to set them down, they go poof and go everywhere. And then you start picking them up and accidentally pick up the stack that was left by the proctology conference the week before. And so, Dan, tell me, how deep into the lower intestines can your camera go? What? No.
Actually, that might turn out pretty well.
There we go.
I get someone else's questions and throw them in there and see if anyone can tell the difference.
That would be actually that would be a great way to do it. It's all right. So you know, you introduce yourself and you say, you know, hey, this is one of the biggest public speaking engagements I've ever had to do. So I was really nervous, and I prepped a whole bunch of stuff for this, and then I sort of set it down, went away, came back and read it a couple days later, and just thought it was the stupidest sounding drivel ever. So instead, I walked over to this other presentation yesterday and listened to them and wrote down all of their questions. And thought, because they sounded great. So I'm here to ask you, so how does it feel going into season four, knowing that your lead characters have been blown up and the whole marriage? What's up with the marriage? No,
again, I would like them to, you know, still like me after it's
over. Right. Again, they probably crack up. You ask them like a burn notice question. Start, you know. Quiz them on other things that are having panels at Comic-Con.
Right. What is
that? Well, true, but...
yeah, I'm actually... One of the things that's going to be really big at Comic-Con, because it actually... The movie comes out, like, a week after, is Cowboys and Aliens.
Oh, very good. Okay. Yes, yes.
Big push there, because, it, like I said, it literally premieres the next Friday. So,
Talk about my out. Those are trailers that look certifiably grade A awesome, and yes. Just holy Toledo!
I think they showed the trailer last year at Comic Con. I mean, that's you know.
I think so.
The first
teaser.
Well, that's how long post production takes. They get like 3 minutes of effects done, and they print out a trailer to start the early buzz.
Yeah,
and then they're working on the rest of it for the next year and a half.
Yeah,
I'm just, you know, the one thing I hate about the trailer for Cowboys and Aliens is that you very very obviously see Clancy Brown's death scene.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
On the one hand, hey, Clancy Brown's in it, so I'm there, but.
Oh, I mean, they got quite a cast there, mate.
It's a great cast.
Daniel Craig, Harrison Ford, Olivia Wilde.
It's cool to see
Harrison Ford actually playing a bad guy.
Yeah, yeah. And then whatchamacallit, from Moon and Galaxy Quest and... Charlie's Angels and...
Sam Rockwell.
Yeah. I mean, once again, almost anything he pops up in, it, you know, whatever his character is going to be, it's good.
Well, and the movie is directed by Jon Favreau.
So. Yeah, so really, really excited about that one. All right, cool. Well, I think that's, you know, enough about you, Matt. What else have we got going on? You want to do some? Well, any other geek news before we move on?
No, I don't know. We want to talk about Google Plus.
I suppose we could a little bit. I mean, you know, what I've explored it a little bit. It's interesting. I haven't quite figured out how much more it is than Buzz. I like the circles. It's not going to kill Twitter by any stretch of the imagination, because it has sort of a it's a really good killer is like Yahoo Groups.
Well, it wants to kill Facebook. I mean, I'm sure that's what they're
maybe doing. Maybe
right.
Or to give people an interesting alternate to Facebook, at least it's, you know, maybe it's Facebook for the people that don't want to live through AOL 2.0, which is all Facebook is.
I guess that's true.
Or actually, people who want to have Facebook features on the actual World Wide Web rather than inside a walled garden.
Yeah. Or it's, you know, going to be the place that turns into Facebook after everyone discovers it and goes, ooh, this is great, because all those, you know, people I don't want to hang out with aren't here. And then they all show up.
Well, it does solve the one big problem that Facebook has, which is you have, you know, if you're following, you know, if you're friends with a whole bunch of different groups of people, and there's some things that, you know, you might like a post that somebody, you know, makes that isn't necessarily something you'd want somebody in this other group of people that you know
right.
to see, you have to let go to a lot of effort to hide it from them.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas with the circles concept, that's done for you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, right. So, yeah, basically right now it does one aspect of Facebook better than Facebook. And we're waiting to see what else happens.
Have you heard, though, who the most popular user is on
Google Plus? Who is it so far?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Well, yeah.
Like, shows up in everybody's recommendations and everybody, like, adds them to their circles.
Go figure. It's like, who is the guy from MySpace who always showed up as your first friend?
Oh,
yeah.
Tom or something.
Something yeah, like yeah. that. So, and see how well that went for him. Of course, I think he sold out to Fox, to Murdoch at $600 million, and it just got sold for $25 million again. So he's smiling. He's all right. Yeah. Yeah, actually, it's hard to talk about it because right now it's a tool. It's not a place, and we have to see how well it works as a tool. It's not email and it's not Twitter, which are like two ends of a spectrum, and it's somewhere in between that. And, it's not a chat room. It's not whatever. It's we have to see how people take to it, and they seem to be taking to it. Okay, at least the geek savvies who have gotten in on the beta so far, and I'm go ahead.
It's less confusing than Wave. So.
Yes, there you go. And admittedly, I know I'm toying about using it for some of our administrative purposes on the blogs. So if it can do something like supplant Yahoo groups, which haven't changed in a decade, that could be a good thing.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've loved Yahoo groups for a long time, and it does what it does just fine. Which is nice. But if we can come up with something that's a little faster, a little more streamlined, svelte, jump from a conversation chain into a hangout room for a quick face to face, and then back to the chain, that could be excellent. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh yeah, it definitely has promise.
And maybe these hangouts, which is what seems to be getting a lot of the interest, will be like the Twitter of alternate, the Twitter of Skype or something, where they can be done so easily, so quickly, whereas Skype it's a bigger challenge to get to a multiple user conference call, sort of, as we can all attest to from trying to put these calls together, that's good. And, I'm sort of hoping that maybe we can adapt those for our live broadcasting too. I don't know. Although I kind of like having multiple screen, multiple faces on the screen at once. So
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see. It is interesting. And then was it tomorrow? Facebook, drops the other shoe and has something awesome that they're going to announce, which people think might be Skype in Facebook.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. That it might be something like that.
So, it's all very, may we live in interesting times. All right. We just went to Cars 2 this weekend, and we actually enjoyed it quite a bit. I want to get the Blu-ray of Cars 2 just so I can sit there and go frame by frame and look at all the Easter eggs. And the one place that I'm angry about is how quickly they killed off Bruce Campbell's character. But besides that, perfectly enjoyable. Perfectly enjoyable. Did anyone go see Transformers 3? It only made $400 million internationally over the weekend, so obviously it's a flop.
It really does, because all it does is encourage Hollywood to make more movies like that.
Yeah, especially to give Michael Bay more money.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need more movies like that. We have too many movies like that already.
But all right. So here's the counter. People want to see them.
I understand that.
Yeah,
I'm talking about my opinions. And in my opinion, we need fewer movies like that.
Right.
It's just,
so if Matthew was in charge of the world, we would have only really good movies.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's the same movie, you know, in many ways as the first two, only it makes less sense, is what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. And more noise. Yeah, less sense, more noise.
Yeah, if I want to watch, you know, giant robots transforming and things blowing up, I can watch the first one on cable or on Netflix or, you know, whatever, and that'll be fine. It'll be much cheaper and won't involve a trip to the movie theater.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would prefer more movies that actually require, you know, some amount of thought to watch, you know, some, you know, just something.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be a lot of thought, but some would be nice.
Too many people Dreamer. Are not interested in putting any thought into watching movies. I think that's the problem. It's like, well, if I wanted to think about the story, I'd read a book, and I don't do that.
Maybe this is a sign of, you know, why movie houses were so popular during the Depression. Why dumb movies are so popular now, because we don't want to think about reality.
Yeah.
And there's my depressing thought for the day. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we watched Kung Fu Panda 2 this weekend, because that's what's showing at our little theater. And, you know, I mean, well, you think about it, it's like, yeah, that one actually, you know, does require a lot of thought, you know, for a kid's movie. Yeah. I mean, I was like, wow, I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I thought I didn't think it was a great movie, but I thought it was,
right.
It was a very good movie.
Yeah. You know. But it's got lots of action and explosions even. Yeah. And also actual, you know, moments of real emotion.
Like believable characters.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the panda that has been raised by a goose is more believable than, you know,
than the nerd that dates Megan Fox and whoever the new girl is. Yeah.
Oh, well,
you know, that's why the Transformer movies are that popular, because the nerdy character gets the chick. For no explicable reason.
Right.
Yeah, but they're movies where that happens, that have brains in them.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about why this one gets the attention. Oh, well. All right, let's do some posts of the week. I think we're there. Jonathan.
Well, I was just going to, you know, mention my interview with Weird Al, just because it was so much fun to do.
it really sounded fun to do. In fact, let's see if this works.
Oh, okay. Now you can play.
Hey, Jonathan. Hi, Al. I'm a writer for Geek Dad, and here at Geek Dad, we're just big fans of yours. So,
well, thanks so much. Thank you.
Really excited to be able to talk to you, and thanks for taking some time out of your day. And you're probably busy with Alpocalypse, huh?
Well, it's been pretty busy. It's been a crazy last several weeks, actually.
Yeah. Well, I had to, you know, do research for this interview because I'm not very good at interviews.
Me neither, but we'll be even.
I spent a lot of time last night, you know, listening to Alpocalypse and then going back and catching up on, you know, videos that I hadn't seen in a while. So it was very hard work. But
somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, you know, the things I do for our readers. But one of the things is, you know, because I know, you know, you've got, aside from Alpocalypse, you also have your picture book, When I Grow Up, and the app, the iPad app that just came out for it. For Geek Dad, we want to kind of steer you towards talking about parenting and kids' books. And if we have time, you know, I'd love to get back to talking about your music as well.
Sure.
A lot of us grew up listening
to I'll cut
it
off there, but first of all, I'm very proud of the fact that I've been able to make the podcast work, that we could all hear that live. But secondly, it is really good. You know, Jonathan, first of all, you don't have anything to worry about being a bad interviewer, because you are an awesome interviewer.
You did super. I really do. I mean,
I tend to, like, while I'm talking, though, I tend to
I tend to say a whole lot and respond to everything he says. I go, okay. And then I'll go to the next question. I'm not very good at making any sort of transitions or responding on the spot to something that, you know, that he's brought up, like, oh, that's not on my list of questions. All right. I'm just going to skip that.
No, really. You did fine. You drew Matt on a bunch of things and you followed up on questions.
And I think, you know, first of all, I think Al is a great interview. I think he is still a completely down to earth, really, really great guy.
Oh yeah.
And secondarily, I think you did a great job. First of all, you did your research. And secondly, you did come at him with questions and with some things that were unexpected by him and not, you know, I think that's the challenge. Whenever, you know, any of us, and we've all done it, gotten to sort of interview people, celebrities or, you know, folks that are doing PR for something and have run into the same type of questions over and over again. And for, you know, for what it's worth, I have experienced this myself. With doing PR for the books, it's, you know, doing a radio interview or something, and you get some of the same questions every single time, and you come up with pat answers, which isn't to be lazy. It's simply because that is your answer, and you try to, you know, you try to deliver it in an interesting way. And you got him with some stuff that was original and unexpected, and you got very fresh and authentic responses out of him, which was wonderful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I did go in. I mean, he did an interview, you know, for the release of Apocalypse. He had done a podcast with Chuck Klosterman on an ESPN podcast, actually.
Okay,
I'm not sure why Chuck Klosterman is sitting in on this podcast and he was interviewing Weird Al. I have no idea, but I listened to that one and. You know, I said, oh, well, there goes half of my questions. Like, you know, that he had just answered a lot of these questions. And then I went and read some of his interviews online and said, oh, a lot of these questions are other ones that, you know, he's done before. And so I really was, you know, digging for something that I could ask that he hadn't, you know, hopefully hadn't answered, you know, 500 times already. So,
right.
Although I still did get some of the, you know, well, what bands do you like to listen to? And I was like, all right, you know, that's something you got asked already and didn't like to answer. But, you know, but I think also the fact that I was trying to focus on the book some too. And, you know, and talking about the fact that, you know, he's got a daughter now who's, you know, only a little older than my own daughter. And I thought that was cool to be able to say, oh, okay, you know, you're a dad now. And, you know, what's really interesting to me, and I didn't really ask him about that, was, you know, what's going to happen when your daughter's a teenager and, you know, you're making satire of the songs that she likes or, how are you going to deal with the inevitable, she no longer thinks you're cool. What does that do to your, you know, to your music? Because he's like, and that right now he's got this thing though, where, you know, I like his music and my kids like his music. And I imagine that when they're teenagers, they're just going to, you know, that's something that we'll still have in common, as opposed to, you know, a lot of my other stuff, I'm sure my kids will be like, well, that's lame.
Yeah. It's interesting because
I'm going to think their stuff is lame, you know?
Exactly. And I think partially is because his work busts genres. It sort of lives outside of the genres. So whether or not you like the pop stuff that your kids like, or your kids like the, you know, electronica or whatever you like, you can still share the, you know, the Weird Al that is making fun of a whole bunch of different stuff.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, my kids love his music. I mean, yeah. they've been asking to listen to Apocalypse like every time we're in the car.
It's great. It's great. Yeah. So you get major props for that interview. You also get a ton of jealousy from many of us for having pulled that one off. So well done, sir.
And it was totally unexpected, because the reason, I mean, I was writing about the iPad app of his kids' book.
Right.
And that was what I signed up to do. And then the publisher says, so by the way, you know, did you tell me what, you know, when you want to interview Weird Al? And I said, what? Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Please. Thank you very much.
Sure. So yeah, it was something that, you know, it wasn't something that I had expected. You know, I was expecting to, you know, okay, I'll write about this, you know, kids book,
yeah,
you know, iPad app, and to be able to get to do an interview out of that was great. So,
oh yeah,
totally.
Yeah. That was very sweet. Yeah.
Cheers on you, man. Cheers on you. Good job.
Hey.
All right. All right, Matt.
Oh, I just wanted to quick mention Jim Kelly's series that he's been doing on retro games. You know, talking about games that were out, you know, 30 years ago, and even older than that some. And in particular, one that I had completely forgotten about, but that as soon as I saw it, I remember playing it constantly with my older brother, called Stop Thief, which I, as soon as I saw it, I just went over to eBay and bought a copy, which actually just arrived today, and we sat down and played it a couple of times after dinner. And the kids had a blast. You know, it was so cool. You know, playing a game with my kids that I played when I was their age, and actually even younger than they are. And you know, it's a game that came out in 1979. You know, and the electronics that come with it are, you know, completely outdated by now, but still work just fine for the purposes. And they hit a ball. I mean, that's awesome. And some of the other games, ones I don't really remember quite as well, but it's been really kind of cool having that little, you know, trip down memory lane. And it's nice to be reminded that even games that haven't been around for a long time are still able, you can still find them on eBay, and they can still be a lot of fun to get into.
I know, you know, and it's good to get your kids into, you know, it's interesting because I'm still finding it with my kids who are, you know, 11 and almost 13, and who are at this stage experienced game players, but will still discover either classic games or just, you know, the simplest Flash games online or whatever. They're not growing up with the prejudice towards the graphics. At least they haven't gotten to a point where they have that. And so you can go back and find older games that have not the best, you know, visuals and whatever, but excellent gameplay, and they will totally get a blast out of it, because if it's new to them, it's new and it's wonderful. So it's so much fun to do that. That's quite true. So
I've really enjoyed that series of posts too. Although I gotta say, I mean, I have not played, I don't think I've played any of these games. They're a little early for me yet, I think. So, but you know, but it is cool, like to read about these, you know, especially at that time, like, oh, these really high tech, you know, electronic gadgets that they started throwing games in. And I was thinking about that and comparing that to, you know, the most recent version of Monopoly, or, you know, that's coming out,
yeah,
which has that electronic tower. But, you know, I feel like that's, well, it's Monopoly, so I maybe that's the problem.
I know,
but, you know, I don't feel like it makes the game you know, innovative in the same way that, you know, I was reading like the Dark Tower game, you know, where it's like, oh, okay, you've got this little spinning cylinder, you know, inside, it lights up differently, like it, you don't know what's going to happen, whereas this one's like, well, okay, they've got the tower and it rolls the dice for you, you know.
Yeah, not that yeah. Cool.
Or like the Monopoly that they came out, you know, where it does the banking for you, you know, like you have a credit card,
right? Right, it's, that's like, okay, yeah, that's the version
away,
I tried.
Take away the one educational piece that Monopoly had.
Which is counting the money, yeah,
and such,
yeah,
and remove that, so it has no educational value whatsoever. Okay.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. All right, good. I know. I was sort of, he's done a few. Did he do Hitchhiker's Guide as the text-based adventure, or was that earlier? I'm trying to remember. Because I remember playing that, but I don't remember some of the stuff that he's doing. Which is, that's right. I need to go find them.
That was mid '80s.
Yeah.
But yeah, I vividly remember that. He's mostly been doing board games though. He's been
Right.
Yeah.
Although I think he did do the text-based adventures post.
He did.
And then you know, putting on his iPod or put, you know, he got some program that'll run them.
Yeah, he got some sort of emulator.
So he's running those. So. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I vividly remember those Infocom games. Those were
So he did some great posts. I love this series. So hopefully people will keep coming back for this. But all right, I got I'll do one here and then we'll wrap things up. I just want to remind here's the teaser for what I want to tell everyone to get involved in.
Took some time and act the toaster. The steampunk oven timer swirl. What the hell?
All right, not too much of that. Anyway, that's John Anilio's version of the, or John Anilio's The Geek Dad song. And we have a little contest going on now through, when does it go through?
The end of the month, right?
Through the end of the month. Okay. Sounds right. In fact, I'm looking at the post right now, and I'm not seeing a date on the post. Oh, July 29th. There we go. Okay. So we have made available all of the tracks from the song, and we're having a little remix competition. So stop by and check it out. Basically, what John wants to do is we're going to get a few people that submit remixes. We'll pick a bunch of them that we like, and we will put them on a special album that John is going to put together. And a couple of us, I think, I want to try and do it. Hopefully I've got the time. I've started it. I want to do a remix, and a few other people have said they want to try and do remixes of the Geek Dad song too. So hopefully you'll see a few, different variations come through. And, But go check out the post on Geek Dad, and you can download the tracks and put together your own version of the Geek Dad song.
And a bunch of random people who submit entries will win gift certificates to the Geek.
Exactly. And we're doing it, and just yeah, right. just
music related stuff from
the Geek. Exactly. Sorry. That's right. The point that I was going to make was the only reason we're doing it randomly is because if we do it in a judging situation, then we have to actually write down rules and stuff. So we're making it easy on ourselves. So yes, yep. we are lazy.
But in a good way.
All right. So anybody else got anything before we close this out? I think so. Anything coming up in the next two? Well, other than, little panels and so forth. What do we got in the next 2 weeks?
I'm moving very soon.
So we will have no iPad or book board game reviews in the next few weeks.
I don't know. I haven't been able to get my board gamers together. I told them, yeah, I'm leaving. You come over and play my board games before I got to pack them up. They've all vanished. So
it's summer, so they're all gone. Everybody's
vacations, man. But I do have, you know, several people in Portland who have been waiting for me to come back so that they can play my board games. So,
oh, excellent.
You know, we can expect hopefully regular board game nights.
Fantastic.
So now do you have next year's move scheduled already?
Yeah. I figure next year we'll buy another. Yeah, now we as of this Friday we will own two homes.
Ooh.
So now we'll have our primary home, and then we'll have our vacation home in Tribune, Kansas.
Where everybody wants to spend the summer.
Oh, and I told my wife, you know, before you decide to, you know, get another job in a different city, we should at least sell the first house we own before we're shopping for a third. So anyway,
have to see whether you can work up some sort of a Geek Dad game night using Google Plus check-ins or Google Plus Hangouts.
Yeah, I don't know. I was actually thinking, you know, I just need a big neon sign that I can hang in my front window and turn it on when.
Yeah, there you go. Game night, and then see who shows up.
Game night.
Like the crispy, like when the Krispy Kreme has, Krispy Kreme has when the
right. Donuts are hot. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
All right. I know end of the month, last week of the month, I'll be going heading down with the family to Disneyland. So try and get a good report on Star Tours and things like that in. But otherwise, no, that's about it. All right. Then I think we will wrap this one up. And I will just say that I am Ken Denmead, editor of GeekDad.com. There is Mr. Matt Blum, the managing editor of GeekDad.com. Thank you very much, as always, Matt.
You're welcome. And thank you, as always, for hosting.
And Mr. Jonathan Liu, the, what do we say, senior editor?
Yes.
Yeah.
Senior editor. Yeah, that's the ticket. Senior editor, thank you again, as always, for coming by.
Thanks a lot.
Anything to get out of packing, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, good. And with that, we will say thank you to our audience. Thank you to the five or six people who checked in and watched us utilizing our new system tonight that did not fail us in podcast. So that's a real good sign. So otherwise, thanks, everybody. Thanks to our sponsor, MapBook.com. And we will see you in 1 week with a new Hip Tracks and 2 weeks with a new Geek Dads podcast. Thank you all. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Geek Dad.